talking about my 28-year-old son. He moved out. He said, if I live home with my mother, I can't be a man. He's my only child, and I need him to do things with me, but I need him mostly just to be with me because I love him dearly. And he loves me too, but he keeps withdrawing. He seems to be getting resentful about something. I don't know what to do for my son so he can feel like he's complete. He's a grown man, and I just don't know what to do. I'm flabbergasted.
Well, we'll hear more of this conversation today here on Hope for the Heart. You know, as I reflect on how my parents raised me and watch my friends raise their children, I see how they try to shape the minds and hearts of their kids. They help them navigate relationships, make good decisions, and so much more. But June says that some parenting styles can be detrimental to a child's future. She shared this with a live audience a while back, and she played this pre-recorded phone conversation to help illustrate the point. Let's listen.
When you think about your own life, what do you do when your children grow older? They're no longer little children. They're no longer teenagers. I have a niece who was so pushing away from her mom. She was getting a master's degree out of a university in Canada, and she was upset because her mother and father wanted her to be in contact once a week. This niece knew I loved her. So she said, they're just imposing on me. She said, I just think it's excessive. And I said, oh, okay. Let me understand now. Are you paying for your education? No. Are you earning your own room, board, everything in Canada? No. Okay, so you are living as a dependent. In other words, they have a right to be in contact with you and for you to be in contact with them. She was so stunned. She thought I was going to take her side. I said, no, it's respectful. It's what you need to do. And she had her reasons that she didn't want to. I said, but you are living dependently still on them. Now, you have the right, if there is nothing that you're receiving from them at some point, to do what you want to do. But in truth, you are receiving much from them. So be aware that they have a right to hear from you. They're investing in you, and you are allowing that. And that's actually good that they're investing. It's good that you be in communication with them. Well, she didn't want to hear it, but she did it. Now, today, it's a whole different story. But she was pushing away as much as she could without totally rebelling. Think of kids like kites. Kids are like kites. Your role, as time goes on, is to give more and more rope, give more and more string, so that one day your child will be able to live independent of you, successfully. You are to be a stabilizing force within the life of your child. I thought maybe I would give an illustration to you of one of the four problem parenting styles. And as we go along, I'll just ask you, what do you think this particular mom, what would she represent of these four types? Dependent, domineering, doting, and detached.
I'm calling about my 28-year-old son. From the time he was four, I raised him alone because his father divorced me and moved away. And so my son got to see his dad every 6 months to a year. When he was 12, his dad quit visiting, and my son grieves over him. And he's autistic, but he has excelled in every way. But inwardly, he's crushed. He even cries sometimes. At 28 years old, if I mention his father, I don't want him around his dad, who lives at the other end of the state from us, because his father's not saved, and he smokes and drinks and does things I don't want him to do, uses bad language, and I don't want my son to be like that after I worked so hard to raise a Christian young man. But my son feels empty. He tells me he's a little boy, he's not really a man, and he says he can't feel like a man. And now he's starting to withdraw from me. He moved out. He said, if I live home with my mother, I can't be a man. He's my only child, and I need him to do things with me, but I need him mostly just to be with me because I love him dearly. And he loves me too, but he keeps withdrawing. He seems to be getting resentful about something. I don't know what to do for my son so he can feel like he's complete. He's a grown man. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know what to do. I'm flabbergasted.
Wow. She's flabbergasted. Now, he's how old? 28. If I live at home with my mother, I can't be a man. Those are his words. His mom is concerned about what?
Being around his father and being influenced by him.
Concerned about being around his father. And yet he's how old?
28.
What is the goal for grown children? What should the relationship be between grown children and parents? What do you think?
Adult to adult.
Adult to adult. What would that look like?
Respecting each other's opinions, needs, wants, likes. You don't have to agree with it, but you don't have to put it down. Allow them to be who they are, and they allow you to be who you are without finding fault.
Okay. All right, then let's go on and listen to this mom. Obviously, she loves her son and felt pain when this husband left, and so there's this mix.
Did he ever go through the phase of teenage rebellion that a lot of kids go through?
No, and I think he's doing it now. Even though he's going to be 29 in a couple weeks, he's always been late with everything socially.
Okay. Well, I sense from what you've said, by the way, I used to be a youth director. I saw kids that came in like little kittens, seventh grade, then you moved to ninth grade, and some of them just had huge changes. I saw kids pushing away from their parents and the pain that that caused the parents. Now, it is vital that you not personalize this. And I'm going to give you a $100 word, individuation. All that means is kids are programmed by God to become independent. And the reason it's so hard for the parent is their child starts out 100% dependent. That baby cannot exist without a loved one who's taking care of the baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what the parent has to do is more and more and more let go.
That's exactly what my son says. He's always telling me, you need to let go. And I said, well, you moved out. You've got your own life. But my son thinks it's normal for him to visit me once a month. I can't stand that. I want to see him every week.
Mm-hmm.
I want to cook for him and still iron for him, even though he has his own apartment. He lives 10 miles down the road, but to me it feels like 100 miles.
Well, I will tell you that if you push, then it's just going to take longer.
What did I mean when I said going to take longer? Why am I using that kind of phraseology? What's going to take longer?
Independence.
Okay. Longer for him to become independent. What is the son crying for? What has he said? He wants her to what?
Her son is trying to become his own person.
Okay.
And her need is inhibiting him in doing that. And she's hanging on for dear life.
Okay, she's very overly mothering. He wants her to let go. There's something that's not whole when someone is a... What kind of mom are you thinking that she might be of all these? We said the dependent Debbie, the domineering Dan, doting Dorothy, and detached Dawn. Which one would you say that she might be? You know, I'm just hearing kind of a combination. She's dependent and? We know she's not detached. Okay, I was hearing doting. Let's see if you can figure out, all right, where is she in her life? We'll go on.
I want you to imagine you're needing a little space. Have you ever had a friend who's just pushing?
Yeah, I kind of tend to be that way with some people. If I really like them and want to be around them, I tend to be that way.
Okay, so let's say somebody else is doing that to you. You want to be a friend, but there's no room for you to move forward because that person's right in your face.
Yeah.
So you can't move toward them. So what is needful is the separation so that when you choose to do so, you can reach out to that person.
Well, once a month seems like he's punishing me. He has one friend, one of his roommates in college. My son calls him and talks for at least 3 hours, and it blows me away that my son can't talk to me that long, but he can talk to this very special young man who's his good buddy. Mm-hmm. And they talk and laugh for hours every time they take turns calling each other. But I'll call my son, and after 10 minutes, he's acting anxious to get off the phone.
Okay.
Sometimes when I know he's home, he doesn't even answer his phone, so I call him at work.
Because he is trying to cut the apron strings. Right now, it's too much for him. He's saying he doesn't feel like a man.
Okay. I had asked her how old she was, 58, and he's 28. Who's going to outlive who? Okay, he's going to outlive her statistically. If he's struggling to feel like a man now, don't you think it's time for him to learn how to live independently of her? Not that we're talking about death, wanting her dead, but, you know, she's 30 years older than him. We're talking about if she is too present in his life, she has the strong identity of meeting all the needs, and he loses his identity. You think about, well, what could help? If you're on the phone with somebody like this, what can help? Because in this case, her help is not what? Helpful. Her help is not helpful. So think about, what is the goal of parenting anyway? Is it to meet all the parents' emotional needs? It should be to allow their kite. Kids are like kites. To let the kite fly, ultimately to soar.
This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. And you can find more hope and help for parenting at hopefortheheart.org. Right now, let's hear more from this pre-recorded phone conversation June had with a mother. This mom says that the more she tries to love her son, the more he tries to get away from her. June is helping her with a new perspective.
Think about a kite. As an adult, your role is more and more to give string more and more to the kite so the kite can fly. The objective of a parent is that the grown child can live successfully independent of a parent.
My son and I are arguing now over whether he'll let me do his ironing.
Don't.
He's a businessman, a tax man, and he has to look proper, and he wants to wear his wrinkled shirts to work. And I said, now that will never do. I said, I'll iron them. I even deliver stuff 10 miles down the road. I cook for him, take him food. He doesn't ask for a thing. He needs, even when he needs groceries. He's always breaking my heart. The more I try to love him, the more he tries to get away from me.
Okay.
What I can't understand now is, to me, he has his independence. I see him as a man. I can't understand why, as I try to get close and love him and do things for him, he gets angry now.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to. You see, because you said he only calls you about once a month, but you're doing all these other things for him.
Mm-hmm.
The food, ironing, and he's not wanting you to do that. He's got to be able to feel that he can survive without you.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you are out of his heart, but he feels still very mothered when he's 28. Probably none of his friends have mothers that are doing all these things. The issue isn't that he doesn't love you. He is needing to cut the apron strings, and you need to help him. This is part of your role. Just realize the parent's role is to release, 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 release. Now, this is another way you're going to need to give. You're going to give him freedom.
I see.
Please know, it is not that he doesn't love you. It's that he needs to feel like he can be whole so that he can function without you, so that he can go to work with a totally crumpled shirt. And if it's important to the boss will tell him, you really need to look more presentable.
Yeah.
But let the boss do that, not mama.
Okay.
Do you think she's getting this? She said okay a couple of times.
I think as a guy, if my mother treated me that way, it'd be embarrassing.
Why would it be embarrassing?
Just the controlling influence, and I suspect his friends and peers probably see what's going on. You know, his mom's looking after him still, and he's a grown man.
28. What's going on with 28-year-olds?
I suspect he's probably dating, looking for a wife, and the relationship with his mom probably limits that.
Okay. So they're trying to establish an adult identity in the 20s, because this is a new era. What does this 28-year-old son need?
One of the first things I would want for him is a mentor. He's struggling to become a man, and his mom is never going to be able to teach him that.
Wow.
But God can send someone into his life who replaces the abandonment that he experienced it for.
That's superb. That's one thing that mom could do, is start praying that he, her beloved son, would have a male mentor. Yes. Thank you. That's very concrete, because we see the difference that mentors can make in life. Now, whose need is she really focused on, in your opinion? Her own need. There needs to be a shift. Let's go on with the call.
I still get joy out of anything I can do for him.
Right, and that's what he's not needing now. What he's needing now is the reverse. Right now, he needs the independence to be an individual, not tied to you, not tied to the classic apron strings.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a gift, and it's a gift he wants. If you say, well, why haven't you called me? I can promise you it's going to not produce the result that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make him feel guilty. That's the kiss of death.
Yeah.
That will drive him much farther away.
Well, I wonder, his birthday's coming up in 2 weeks, and I had some secret plans that I was going to sneak into his office, because he comes in an hour later than the boss, and I was going to decorate my son's office for him and then sneak back out before he got there. And put up balloons for him and leave a pizza in the fridge and put snacks around his office and all. His boss gave me permission to come in and do that, but my son doesn't know about it, and I'm wondering if my son will only get resentful instead of appreciating me, wanting to make sure he has a happy birthday.
You know what? If it were friends doing it, if it were coworkers doing it, it'd be great. Not Mama.
I see.
It's because he's needing to have his own identity. After he feels more secure and whole within himself, I think then you will have earned the potential for him to come to you. But if you keep doing things for him, he's going to feel like you're pushing.
He tells me I'm too grabby. I'm always trying to give him a hug and everything. He tells me, well, there's another word that he uses, like I smother him or something.
Yeah, that's called a smother mother.
That's me.
You're really feeding your need.
Yeah.
That's not his need. So that's why it's going to be sacrificial love, giving him his freedom. And that means you let him come to you.
But when he doesn't come to me.
No, he won't until you give space. See, you've continued to do all the food and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You need to literally cut it out. In fact, you need to just say, you know, I've been thinking about it. I realize I need to give you the sacrificial gift of zero pressure. I don't want to pressure you. If you should want to call, I want you to want to call, not because you feel guilty or because I've made you feel guilty. I don't want you to come over just because I'm wanting you to. Just know that I will be fine. Of course, you know I'll always love you, but I see that I've been pushing too hard, and I need to take hands off. That's my birthday gift to you. Listen, he'll be shocked, and he'll be so appreciative.
Helping her think in new terms. Do you think she saw this at all at the beginning of the conversation? What did you think she was calling about? How can I worm my way closer into my son's life? Because I want to do all these things for him. And she does want to. She wants to give. But there are times when our help is not helpful. And we cause somebody to be dependent on us, instead of allowing them to be able to survive, to do well without us. You know, it's easy to have somebody to be dependent on if somebody's there, but it's not helping them be whole. Obviously, over and over in the Bible, you see all kinds of scriptures. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who have I in heaven but you, Lord? He said, well, but you have other people. Yes, but he needs to be preeminent. The closer her dependence is on the Lord himself, the less desperate she is going to be for unhealthy attachment. That's part of the problem when there is too much dependency, too much over-response. By the way, it feels good for a while to have somebody who's there to meet all the needs. But then after a while, if it's not healthy, it's like, I need to evaluate, what does my child really need? It's looking at the true needs of the child. The last thing that this son needs is mama in the office, surreptitiously hiding snacks, calling the boss. She had it all planned beautifully. Sometimes if we allow ourselves to be the one who is giving too much, it ultimately makes the other person just not feeling whole.
This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt, and she'll be back in just a minute. I really like that illustration June shared about kids being like kites. They struggle to become airborne, yet need the stability of the string. Today, you can get a free download of a quick reference guide on parenting and other topics related to families when you go to hopefortheheart.org. And whether you're a new parent or a seasoned parent, you'll benefit from our new Keys for Living on Parenting. It's called Steps for Successful Parenting. You can get a digital copy or order a copy of the book at hopefortheheart.org. Now, here again is June.
Parenting is like a divine treasure hunt as you search for the strengths God has sovereignly hardwired into your children. Then, as you discern their God-given strengths, you can establish firm and fair boundaries to instill the self-discipline required to reach their full potential. Think about it this way. A changed mind produces a changed heart, and a changed heart produces a changed life. This is the progression of how people grow and change. Romans 12 tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your goal as a parent is to help shape the minds and hearts of your children, cultivating their inner attitudes that will be reflected in their outer behavior.
Well, I really appreciate June sharing this insight into parenting styles. As I mentioned, our new Keys for Living series includes a guide on parenting. It's called Steps for Successful Parenting, and you can get a digital copy or order a copy of the book at hopefortheheart.org. Hope for the Heart is here to help you discover what the Bible says about the hurts, the habits, and the struggles in life. And with all the social media, video chats, and other technology, there's no reason for anyone to suffer alone. Here's more.
Taking them off my hook and placing them onto God's hook. I did just this, and my dried, hardened heart was softened. I cried to my Father for mercy and forgiveness. It was a cultivating experience, a renewing of my mind, and joy. I had not experienced joy for years.
Our mission this year at Hope for the Heart is to help millions on the internet like Brenda understand how to believe, trust, and apply God's truth to their life. To do this, we have an urgent need to convert more than 100 print teaching materials into videos. Every day, more than 13 billion videos are viewed. People are right now surfing the internet looking for answers. Start your monthly gift of $30 or more today to support this iHope video project and receive a copy of June's Counseling Through Your Bible handbook. Make this eternal investment at hopefortheheart.org.
Thank you for sharing hope by responding to this need. That website again is hopefortheheart.org. For June Hunt, I'm Joe Wolf. Join us on Facebook for daily access to biblical hope and practical help. June Hunt has her own Facebook page, and there's a page for Hope for the Heart as well. We'll be back tomorrow, so join us right here on Hope for the Heart.